south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Okay, before we get into talking about part two of going to the Decameron, all-inclusive hotels and resorts, and making a life out of it, the question again is, can you live all year like a king or queen at an all-inclusive group of mega resorts, and do all that on a mere social security check or even less? We're here to find that out today. I think you're going to really like this. But first, we're going to revisit a popular subject because I get so many emails about it. The latest coming from chef, diver, and all-around Renaissance lady, Laura. She says, hey, Johnny, let's say a girl decides she's had enough and decides to move to your neighborhood, or Latin America in general. Can she? Or can she not support herself tutoring English, especially if her Spanish is awful? Or are there any other less specific jobs one can take until finding our own footing? Thanks, Johnny. And then she says, P.S., go Cubs. Now, when I read or hear the phrase, go Cubs, it brings to mind an incident. Way back when, my dad and I were in a Goodwill store in Chicago. Or was it St. Vincent de Paul? Can't remember. It was the early 70s, and we're out looking for Halloween costumes. You know, back in those days, before clothes were vintage, if you were seen going in and out of a Salvation Army, St. Vincent de Paul, or Goodwill, except around Halloween, people thought, well, poor guy, times must be rough. Anyway, that day, there was a guy at the shirt rack, and he was holding up a sweatshirt that said, Go Cubs, on it. And my dad was kind of shell-shocked. He said, you know who that is? That's Billy Williams from the Cubs. And instantly, we thought, poor guy must be down on his luck. Most likely he was thinking the same thing about us. Now, then he was past his prime, not playing ball anymore. And I remember my dad said to me, I don't get it. Just a few years back when he was on the team, he was making $47,000 a year, which was huge money back then when my dad, I think, was making like 10 grand a year. And a nice new ranch house in the suburbs of Chicago cost around 20 grand. So anyway, in the end, we were in the checkout line and he was right in front of us. Well, we were stuck there a long time because the lady couldn't get the cash register tape working. There came a moment when he turned around and looked at my dad and I. With a kind of embarrassed look on his face, he held up a shirt. It wasn't the Cubs shirt. And he said, Halloween costume. You know, as if to confirm to us he wasn't down on his luck. Then my dad kind of mumbled, us too. You know, those are those little childhood incidents you never really forget. But I do wonder sometimes what bridge he's sleeping under these days. I know I'm digressing from Laura's email here, what else is new, but it does relate to this show, because people do ask me on occasion if there are Goodwill stores and vintage shops here in Latin America. Well, there's no such thing as a Goodwill or a Salvation Army. It doesn't make sense, since Latins are endlessly recycling their own clothes. Believe me, they don't throw anything out. Hand-me-downs are, well, par for the course down here. I know spoiled stateside kids would be horrified if they had to wear someone's hand-me-downs. Though I think real soon that tradition will be back. But there are no such inhibitions here, except for that upper 2 or 3% of entitled kids who are gringo wannabes. And though the stuff you donate to Goodwill and Salvation Army end up down here getting sold for 50 cents a buck or maybe $2 a garment, I know, sounds crude, doesn't it? Because it's supposed to be a gift. Well, people make money off your donations down here, you know. It's a scam that someone should investigate, but no one is. It's called the paca business, P-A-C-A. And you see those scruffy paca storefronts everywhere, especially in lower middle class and poor neighborhoods. And yes, they have some junk, but they have some really cool American stuff that's thrown away by people like us. Because people in the States throw away perfectly good, expensive designer stuff, leather jackets, blenders, and appliances that don't fit the decor anymore. You know what I'm talking about. Often you find beautiful designer clothes down here that look like they've never been worn, surely because they became quickly too tight for the original owner. Yep, Americans are on the grow, you know. You know, I think my grandma was the last person in the first world universe to darn socks, but it's still a common practice down here. I know what you're thinking. Darning socks? What's that? Yeah, you ask the average under 40 American what the word darn means, and he'll say it's the politically correct term for damn it. Now, speaking of vintage clothes and vintage stores and stuff, you'll find in certain gringoized areas here, especially where there's a lot of backpackers, you'll see what look like typical vintage clothing shops up in the States because, well, there's a market for that kind of stuff with teenage and young adult gringos and Europeans. And where does that stuff come from? I found out from a gringo owner of one of those shops that they scour those pacas I was talking about to find the best upscale American throwaways. Then, of course, they mark it up usually by double or more. So some gringo expat entrepreneurs have found a niche in that market. A Latin person would have never thought of that because they have no idea that a thing called vintage exists as a kind of a subculture or trend up in the States. So anyway, if you're interested in buying cool vintage clothing down here, yep, you can find it. It's going to be a little more expensive than the stuff from the regular pack up, but still much cheaper than if you bought it from an overpriced vintage clothing store up in the States. There are options. But then again, what do I know about style? In fact, I can't think of a worse way to spend the day than to go clothes shopping. But put me in a hardware store or a lumber yard, hey, that's my Disneyland. But where were we? Oh yeah, talking about Laura and making a living down here, teaching English. At least teaching English for a while until you find your niche or your own boots on the ground business idea. Well, here's something I'm sure you didn't know. If you're gonna come down here and teach English, the best way to get started is to get those transcripts from your high school and university. Then have every page notarized. After that, do a high definition scan and stick them on a USB drive. That way you'll always have a nice copy if you lose the originals. The reason why you want to have your transcripts and have them notarized is because all those private helicopter schools here in Latin America, you know, where the entitled rich kids go, the places you'll want to teach, they not only pay the highest salaries, but they're actively seeking out first world gringo teachers. So when you walk in and apply for that job, or you see it in a local Latin paper, or if you apply over the internet from your home in Cleveland, they're going to want to see your transcripts. You don't have to have them translated into Spanish because remember, you're applying for an English teaching job. And the cool thing is, unlike up in the first world, you do not need a bona fide teaching certificate down here. Just proof that you graduated from a university with practically any useless degree. By the way, since those schools want as many gringo teachers as they possibly can, and many of them have half the faculty made up of gringos, even if you don't have residency or haven't applied for it or don't have a so-called work permit, the school will bend over backwards to get that for you. However, they're only going to help you do that if you sign a year-long contract or more. Don't think you can come down and knock on the door of one of these helicopter schools and say, hey, I'm here to teach, but I want to teach as a substitute teacher or part-time teacher. That's not going to happen. They'll want to have you as a member of their staff full-time and on a contract. Shortest contracts I've seen are 6 months, but most of them are a year. And as far as English jobs, remember, there are hundreds of call centers down here, mostly in big Latin cities. Yep, they're all over the place. I think in Guatemala City alone, they've got 15 different mega call centers and about 20 or 30 smaller ones. The biggest one, by the way, owned by, you'll never guess, Xerox Corporation. Yep, when Panasonic, Samsung, and Canon came in and took over the printing and photocopying business, where do you think Xerox went? They didn't go away. They got smart. They branched out in a really weird area that was very profitable. Call centers. In fact, there's a nice big 15 or 20-story skyscraper in Guatemala City that says Xerox on it, and you can't buy a copier or get your printer fixed there. It's just a great big call center. In fact, I know of two gringos working at that call center. They just walked in and they pretty much got accepted that very day, but they had to have their transcripts. And I also suggest you have a police good conduct report with you too and have it notarized. They'll probably ask for that and a letter of reference from a prominent Latin citizen. That would be your friendly Latin lawyer. He'll be glad to do it. By the way, note I said he'll be glad to do it because about 9 out of 10 lawyers are male here in Latin America. You know, it is a macho society. And as they copy first world trends, there's a lot of lag time in almost everything. However, if you look in the paper periodically, you'll see photos of law school graduating classes, and they're packed with women these days. Following the same trend of female enrollment in the professions in the States that started back in the 60s and 70s. So yes, you can find a woman lawyer down here, but like I said, 1 out of 10. And you know, because it is such a macho society, women lawyers don't have the amount of business and the number of clients male lawyers have. Even the majority of undereducated Latin women prefer male lawyers. Same with doctors. But like I said, that's changing. So maybe for some gringos and expats, having a woman lawyer is the way to go. Anyway, I know a few women lawyers and they tell me the same thing. Being a woman anything professional down here is a much harder row to hoe. Or is it hoe to row? Anyway, as far as professional careers, it's like the 70s and 80s still here in Latin America. Regarding gender bias and job inequality issues anyway. But they're working on it, slowly. However, when it comes to gringos and gringas, like I said, we've got that great advantage, so all that doesn't really apply to us. Plus, none of us is really coming down here to take a traditional job in a professional career like doctor, lawyer, or architect. We come down and just, well, find our niches and usually succeed quite well. But regarding coming down and making a living teaching English, even if your Spanish completely sucks, as I mentioned in a past show, these call centers are actually advertising for homegrown English-speaking gringos to hire as call center trainers. So if you get hired as an entry-level on-the-phone call person every hour of the day at $400 or $500 a month, then you'll burn out in 6 months. I mean, imagine being on the phone talking and talking to person after person, many of them disgruntled, especially if you're in customer service. However, like I said, because you're a native English speaker, you can come in as a trainer, making probably twice that much. I'd say $800 a month, which is big down here. Or I should say you can survive quite well on $800 a month, provided you're well off the gringo tourist trail, and most of these call centers are well off the gringo tourist trail. However, as a rule, I don't recommend fresh green gringos live in a big Latin American city. I recommend they live slightly out in the burbs. You've heard me say that a lot on my shows. And unfortunately, if you take a call center job, you'll have to live near that call center, or within a couple of miles anyway, and big city living anywhere can be a drag. And even if you live in those nice first world nearby suburbs, 20 or 30 kilometers away, you'll have to fight some very nasty traffic to get to your job every day. It's not recommended. Oh, I must have mentioned that big Latin cities are hell holes for traffic. In fact, I know people who live in those nice nearby first world suburbs that take 2 hours to get to their job in the morning and 2 hours to get back. What a life, huh? It is no life. That's why so many people live for the weekend and the men really like to drink. Yes, it's an endless procession of cars, chicken buses, and motorcycles in big city Latin America, which is why I don't recommend living there. And why most smart gringos prefer to live in those nice first world suburbs. But then again, if you have to make a living doing something, and you want a nice, calm, happy life, you'll have to have your business out there, or maybe you're doing it from your home on your computer on the internet. That's the way to go. However, if you teach at one of those helicopter schools, almost all of them are out in the burbs. So that would be a much better way to go if you choose that as a kind of a shorter, long-term solution. You know, you can live just a couple of blocks or kilometers away and get to your school within 10 or 15 minutes. I know quite a few gringos who do that. But really, the best way of all to make good money teaching English, and you don't even have to do it full-time, is to advertise on OLX.com and the local bulletin boards at the stores in the area, meaning Walmarts, Costcos, malls, and high-end supermarkets in those areas. Just make your ad nice and slick and first world, because no one else does. In fact, the occasional clueless gringo backpacker comes through and sometimes will stick up a notice on a bulletin board like that to make some quick money. And locals with English as a second language who are actually bad English speakers will put ads on those bulletin boards too. And the ads are almost always pitifully second rate, even laughable. And still, the gringo advantage kicks in and they get customers. If you're looking at the YouTube right now, you'll see one of these embarrassingly bad ads posted by, certainly, a scruffy backpacker gringo passing through. Actually, it looks more like he scribbled it while drunk. Have a look. Yet, he's got business. You can tell because he's got little pull-off tabs, and people have pulled off the tabs, which means they're interested. Check it out. Which is why I always say, if you've got any kind of service to offer, whether it's teaching English or classical piano, maybe it's dog training, yoga, self-defense, the list is endless. You just have to give them a first world, well-polished ad, and you'll be in business. And if you don't believe me, just have a look at the ads people post on those bulletin boards. They're pathetic in first world terms, but they sell down here. So it's a no-brainer to make whatever you're posting much slicker, more professional, classier, and infinitely more appealing. So as for teaching English, you locate the high-end areas, post your ad on the bulletin boards in the high-end malls and supermarkets, and start charging by the hour with discounts for additional kids or a family plan. Remember, you won't have to speak any Spanish because it's all about them learning directly from a gringo. So then, what should you charge? Well, I've seen people charge anywhere from $5 to $25 an hour. Because you know, when you're in a high-end Latin area, people can afford that. And they much prefer a real-life gringo to a local with English as a second language. Then you know, as you start getting a few clients and families, they'll talk you up and it'll be word of mouth, and soon enough, you'll be the preferred English teacher slash tutor in those very safe, preferred high-end subdivision areas. Almost all of them gated, guarded communities. Enough said about that, for now anyway. However, remember, when you're on the Gringo Tourist Trail, or even slightly on the Gringo Tourist Trail, there's going to be so much gringo competition, don't count on making a living at it. But off the Gringo Tourist Trail, man, you're a star. All right, on to the Decameron. Again, for the uninformed, I found out some years ago there's a way to live forever, at least to get carried out on a stretcher, in one of those all-inclusive Decameron hotel mega resorts. Now, I don't think I'm that smart that I figured it out on my own. No, a couple of years back, I saw a couple of Harley guys from the States doing it. They filled me in. They said it's a place almost no gringos ever go to, simply because it's a Latin American thing. Started up, owned and operated initially by the Colombians. Now they've got over 50 of them throughout the Latin world, one in Cameroon, Africa. How'd that happen? Who knows? They're completely all-inclusive. I'll get into that in a little while. And unlike, for example, cruise lines and other all-inclusive resorts like Sandals, etc., there's no tip envelope in your room at the end of your trip, sort of coercing you or embarrassing you into leaving some dough there for the maids in attendance and such, whether they've done a good job or not. Amazingly enough, that just doesn't exist. When you pay to go to one of these places, whether it's for a day or a year, the dough you pay initially is it. That's all. Unless you don't like the house rum, whiskey, cognac, or vodka. Yes, you can buy brand name and top shelf stuff on your own dime. But everything else is free, including, believe it or not, cigarettes. Yep, just ask for a pack of cigarettes at the bar and they'll give them to you. Local Latin brand, of course, but who cares? Now, I don't smoke, but I'm just telling you, that's how it is there. Though I don't know how long that's going to last, since the no smoking signs are starting to go up everywhere in Latin America, in the lagtime tradition of first world tastes and trends. Anyway, a few years back when I met those two Harley guys, they told me there was a Decameron membership club that you could join that wasn't advertised anywhere in newspapers or flyers or on the internet, and you only could find out about it if approached by a person with a clipboard while you were walking around the Decameron on your own little vacation. Unfortunately, in the whole place, almost no one speaks English. Ah, but I speak Spanish well enough so I could listen to their spiel and figure the ins and outs, because it's not so straightforward. They throw a whole lot of information and details at you at one time. And a few years back, I figured that a couple could live for a whole year at any one of those Decamerons, everything included. And remember, they've even got a doctor and a nurse's station on the premises because it's a huge facility. Anyway, I won't go on about their facilities. You can go on YouTube or check out the Decameron website and see just what they have. If you've ever been on a big cruise ship or to an all-inclusive resort, you know what they're like. Just put Decameron Resorts in your search engine and check it out. Okay, as a reference, we're talking about a couple now living for a whole year in the Decameron. That would be double occupancy. Now, if you check out the rates on the internet just to go for a vacation at one of those places, you'll find it's probably like $100 a person per day, double occupancy. That means two people, $200. By the way, you can now see the website in English, so by all means, go there. Now, the best rate you're going to get at one of those all-inclusive resorts like Sandals is around double that, or $200 per person per night. However, we're talking about prices on the internet. Down in Latin America, you'll find in most all big cities, there's a Decameron kiosk, usually in a big high-end mall. And if you go there and book it, you'll find those prices are often three-quarters of the price you'll pay for the very same thing on the internet. And sometimes they offer deals and specials so great, you pay about half of the internet booking price. In fact, just a couple weeks ago, I hooked up with a Decameron deal, and it was only $50 a night per person, double occupancy. So for $100 a night, that's taxes included, I got a deal that you could never find at one of the more well-known all-inclusive resorts like Sandals, etc. Think about it. Most people can only get a pretty basic hotel room these days for around $100 a night double occupancy. And in some first world countries and cities, that would be bargain basement if you can find a decent hotel at $100 a night. Anyway, those are the kind of deals you can get at the Decameron if you're down here and book it at one of their little offices. But we're talking about that club plan now, which doesn't exist on the internet or anywhere else. You have to actually be there and get the 45-minute presentation from the little guys running around with their clipboards. So some years back, I was at a Decameron, did all the numbers and calculations, and figured two people could spend around $8,000 or $9,000 each a year and have the entire year living at a Decameron. But then I reported a year or two later that things had changed. It's not that prices went up. It just made it so complicated that the average person can't work the ins and outs of it unless he knows pretty good Spanish. So you have to know the details, and I'll get into that in a little while. First of all, when you buy into this plan, you're buying points. For example, a few days ago when I first sat down with the salesperson, he presented me with a deal where I'd buy 1,500 points for $10,000. And he said I'd have 15 years to use up those points. Now, we don't care about 15 years. We're interested in 1 year at a time. We're interested in the amount of points we'll need to use for one whole year. Though I didn't tell him that. I guess to the average Latin person buying in, of course they're not average Latins because it's only upscale Latins can afford to buy into that. Anyway, for the Latins buying into that club, the number of years they have to spend those points means a lot to them. Because, you know, they're working people and only have so much vacation time. Latins aren't thinking about retiring and living full-time at one of those resorts. That's the last thing on their mind. They'll visit a couple times a year, maybe. Anyway, first thing I said was, can I use all the points in 1 year? And he gave me that deer in the headlights look. Well, yes, if you want. Okay, so far so good. Now, the way that point system works is this. The guy's got a book with him. And that book has 50-something pages. Each page has one of those Decameron resorts on it. And it's got a chart that shows how many points will be deducted from your total for each day used at that resort. For example, the one I was at in Panama. Now remember, they're always figuring double occupancy, two in a room. So if you stayed during the week, each night you stayed, they'd subtract 10 points from your total. And if you stayed on a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, they would subtract 12 points from your total for each day. You with me on this so far? But remember, we don't care about days or weeks. We care about a year's worth. Now, here's the good part. If you stay for an entire week, you get a discount on the points. So instead of it being 10 or 12 points a day, they let you have it for 8 points a day. So what's that all mean? Well, let's say you wanted to stay a whole year at one particular Decameron resort. That's our goal and purpose, right? Well, we'll definitely get that week-long discount at 8 points a day. That's a total of 2,920 points that they'll subtract for the whole year. 2,920 points to stay for an entire year, two people, at a Decameron. Okay, but remember I mentioned earlier, he offered me 1,500 points for $10,000, right? Well, figure it out. That means I'd only be able to stay a half a year at that particular Decameron. 1,500 points, just about half of 2,920. And to stay the other half of the year, I'd have to fork up another 10 grand. So that's 20 grand. Okay, so I know how it works. I'm sitting at that table. And remember, there are maybe another 20 tables in that same big room. They've all got a guy there with a clipboard and an iPad. And everyone's got a couple of Latins sitting there they're trying to sell this plan to. Now, remember, it's a 45-minute spiel. And if you just sit through it, like sitting through a timeshare spiel, you actually give you two free nights at a Decameron in 3 days. So even if you don't care about the deal or buying it at all, it's great to just get the freebie. And get this, if you're a gringo or someone living up in the States or in Europe, that voucher is indefinite. You can use it anytime. Whereas if you live in Latin America, it's only good for 3 months. Yep, the gringo advantage rides again. Anyway, I put on my best poker face and I said, you know what? I'll think about it. And then he said, well, this offer is only good for today. And I said, okay, I'll think about it today and come back later on. As soon as I started getting up, he said, listen. Then he pulled that used car salesman deal and said, I'll talk to my boss. And he walked out for a minute and came back. You know, probably just took a whiz or downed his shot of tequila. You know the drill. And he said, I'll tell you what. You said you need 3,000 points, right? I'll give you 3,000 points for $17,000. And I'll give you 20 years to use them. Which, like I said before, doesn't mean a thing to us because we're looking to use these points as a retirement plan, using them all up in 1 year and buying another group for the following year. Oh, by the way, I asked him that. I said, if we get in the plan, does that guarantee I can buy my points in the future for the same cost? He said, oh, yeah. Once you're in, you'll always pay the same price for the points. Good deal, huh? And he said, they'll never raise the point values on the hotels either. All right, so he said $17,000 for 3,000 points, which would allow two people to stay for an entire year at a Decameron hotel all-inclusive. I said, I'll think about it. I'll let you know. He said, oh, no, you have to decide right now. Then I looked at him in the eye and said, you know what you're doing here? You're asking me to make an impulse buy on something that's the equivalent of a brand new car. You know what? I don't like that kind of pressure. You told me I could have the whole day to think about it. And now he was getting pissed. Oh, by the way, you're going to laugh about this. You see, every 10 minutes, a guy would jump up from the table, one of the guys with the clipboard, and he'd say, welcome our new Decameron Club members. And he'd mention their names. They'd stand up and he'd give them a hand. And everybody in the room would clap because he'd just closed a club deal. A page entirely ripped off from the old timeshare days made me laugh. And I'll tell you, that must have happened around 5 times while they were giving me my 45-minute spiel. Oops, getting towards the end of the show now. Oh, I have a lot more to talk about with this Decameron thing. We'll do it next time, promise. In the meantime, I want to mention, if you can't make it down to my Expat Insider Seminar in January, I've got 2 or 3 spots left, then you really have to check out my new Expat Essentials course. It's the very next best thing to coming down and getting boots on the ground on your own. It really is the best way to get your Plan B started from right there in Seattle or Cleveland. Check out my 3 free videos at www.expatplanb.com and you'll see what I mean.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my 3 videos. See ya. Nos vemos.